Episode one, the pilot episode of the Eric A. Sinani Unplugged Insights and Perspectives. That's right, folks. Here I am again another night, two times every night on your TV and your radio. I'm your host, Eric A. Sinani, Eric Andrew Sinani, the host of the Hostile Zone. So hopefully I brought you over right here on iHeartRadio. And on your cable provider, and if I'm not on your cable, you call your cable provider and you say, I want Sinani on my TV, and that includes the Hostile Zone and this new show. So welcome to the pilot episode of the new show. If you are new and you are not aware of who I am and you're not a fan of the Hostile Zone, which you should be, Hostile Zone is nightly based on where you are. It's on iHeartRadio, and we launch primetime at LA and on New York Standard Time. Anyway, so if you are from there and you're coming over, then you're kind of get a flavor of what we're going to be doing on this new show. But we're going to be a little bit more intense. We're going to get some really good interviews in here and get some good people. And we're going to talk about the United States, where we stand in the geopolitical climate around the world, where we stand right here in the United States as a citizen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the intelligence community. We're going to talk about national security. We're going to talk about the military. We're going to talk about Supreme Court. We're going to talk about major legal cases. We're going to talk about things that affect you folks, because I'm your humble correspondent, and I'm here for you. You get me two times in a night, and I hope you enjoy it. It's a pilot episode. Bear with us. We're rolling through. Not exactly sure how it's going to flow. Right, Carrie, you there with me, my executive producer?
Yes, I am right here. And we
You're
are
gonna keep going to keep me flowing, right?
Yeah, you got to get on a roll.
I'm working on it. It's a new show, folks. They're fans of the Hostile Zone. They know we got a nice little thing going.
Yes.
But this is a little different. So for those of you who are new to the show, if you just happen to be tuning your radio or your TV and you found this show and you're like, who is this guy? Well, I am the host of the Hostile Zone. But a little bit about me. I'm a trained lawyer, a constitutional scholar, a military veteran, a senior emergency management specialist with intelligence analyst experience, as well as years of investigative experience. I'm going to bring all of that from my life to you. I also am a professor. I have a couple books coming out. I have a lot of things, but it's not Eric Sinani's show. It's about you. I'm just giving you a basic highlight. If you want to know more, go to the website or the show with iHeartRadio. And also you can check me out at eric@ericandrewsinani.com. If you are watching on your TV station, on the bottom of your screen, there's this lovely ticker. On that ticker, it tells you all the ways that you can get in touch with myself, my staff, or anybody on the team at any time, whether it even be for this show or for the Hostiles. We're up and running. We're moving. This is a pilot episode. You let me know what you want and let me know what you want to hear and see. We'll go there. Send an email. eric@ericandrewsinani.com. So anyway, I gave a little bit of history. I have a lot of different experience. I guess I have a plethora of experience across the gamut of all government type stuff. A lot of it, actually, people say you do a lot of different things, but really, when you mix intelligence, investigations, law, the U.S. Constitution, which we always have several copies on hand here, my new book coming out is a book regarding the Constitution. And if you want a free copy of the Constitution, just send an email into the show. We'll be happy to hook you up with a Constitution. Also, with the military, that encompasses all that. So if you think about the military, the Constitution, intelligence, investigate, it all is really one big happy family, I guess, for lack of better words. The fact of the matter is, I've spent my life standing tall for those who cannot fight for themselves. And I truly pride myself on the guy that runs towards gunfire, the guy that runs towards a fight, the guy that runs towards a fire. Oh yeah, I didn't add in there. I've been a firefighter since age 16, on and off as I've moved around, but maintained my certification and I've maintained being involved. I'm also involved in EMS. I don't want to give a whole resume here. You can check it out on your own. I literally have dedicated my life to standing up for those that can't stand up for themselves, those that can't fight for themselves. I really believe in it. And now I'm bringing you the insight that matters the most. We're going to tackle issues here. We're going to tackle discussions. We're going to tackle things that you may not want to hear. You may not want to talk about. But I promise you, you'll tune in again tomorrow night. Understand here, let me just lay out some groundwork. Not in my notes. Executive producer is going to be mad because I go off my notes in Warner. Sorry, Gary. Right here, I'm going to put it out on right from the beginning. If you're not a fan of the other show, you should check out The Hostiles. Just Google it. You can find it anywhere. But what I want to make sure all my viewers and listeners get, we don't pick partisan sides. We don't pick a party here. Whether or not you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, whatever you are, clearly people know what I am, what I believe in, but I do not report as a pundit in any particular political arena. Did I say that good, Carrie? Okay, she did.
Yes,
not.
You did.
Do you get mad when I go off script? Hey, it's a pilot episode. Let's have some fun. I just had to put that out.
I mean,
honestly, right? I mean, I had to do that because someone's going to say, oh, he's a hack. And also, folks, and Carrie will tell you, if you listen to my other show, I never, ever badmouth the president of the United States because he is our president. And that's the bottom line. Whatever your opinion is, and that's another thing, and I like that where this is going to go. In the constitutional talk, yes, you have the right, the First Amendment right to free speech, obviously freedom of the press, myself, a member of the press corps, doesn't mean, like the old saying, you don't have the right to scream fire in a movie theater. Well, just because I have the right to say what we may want to say, it doesn't mean it's right, folks. We should not be publicly airing our laundry for the whole world to see. We can criticize our leaders, but we should not denigrate and just be hateful. And there is so much hate going on in this country right now over nonsense. We have wars around the world, people dying of genocide, people dying of terrorist attacks, all kinds of diseases, all kinds of stuff. And we're fighting over political candidates. So please, if you tuned into this show to get dirt on the other party or for me to badmouth your president, then just click right over to another station. I'll probably be aired on that station anyway. So you might as well just stay. So anyway, right, Carrie, did I lay that out good? Was that good?
That was pretty
first
good.
First day? All right, it's a wrap. All right, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All right, so.
I'm
right. If you were here before, folks, you would have known that we spent like an hour and a half trying to figure out technical issues. And if you were a fan of the Hostile Zone, you'll know we used to have tech issues all the time. Remember? I better knock on some wood. Knock on wood, everybody. Everybody knock on wood. Hey, Angelo, knock wood. So anyway, this show is going to deep dive into some of the biggest critical issues that are shaping our country, our world, from law to national security to government analysis. To truly understand government. Now, on top, I have a law degree. I also have a master of public administration. I'm an expert in government, public administration, administering government services, and the law degree with a specialty in the U.S. Constitution. And I'm also a nationally credentialed mediator. I also have done that in outside of the United States as well, dealing with different groups trying to mediate peace. So that's a little bit about myself. We are very excited. Carrie, are you excited? Carrie's not excited. Oh, boy. All right. It's good. I love it. I just found out that we actually had like 110 episodes of The Hostile Zone in 1 year. That's insane. So, okay, folks, moving on. Actually, you know what? We're going to take a short commercial break. Don't go anywhere. And I'm telling you, don't make me come looking for you because I'm on twice a night, every night, and I'll find you. We'll be right back.
Ram Rand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back. apparently you didn't want me to come looking for you. Or you were like, hey, he's going to come and get me anyway. I'm like a ghost in the night. One minute I'm there, one minute I'm gone. What does that mean? Ooh, food for thought. Anyway, so today we're gonna dive into some crucial topic. It's a like some topics, but it's really one big topic. This one here, folks, is going to shock you. And I'm not here. I'm not a shock jock. I'm not trying to do that. But this is very serious stuff. I'm going to try to tone it down, even though it's a pilot episode. Oh, did you see that light just do that? So, folks, when I put out information, if you watch my other show and you're going to watch the show, I put out information. I keep it real. I keep it real. I call a spade and I give you facts. I give you what I know to be true. And when there's Sinati's opinion, I'm going to tell you, it's in my humble opinion. Also, we have a thing called the C-hole. I like to talk. Anybody that knows me or has taken any of my courses at any of the universities, I fall into it. We call it a C-hole from the other show, a Sinati hole, meaning I just talk forever. We're not going to try to have too many Sinati holes here today. But when I put out information, I give you the best possible information that I have, and I give you the best possible advice. But remember, always do your homework. Read for yourself. If you have questions, you can reach into the show. We'll be happy to give you a referral or whatever. But what we give you is the best we have. There is no air quoting if you're watching. There's no fake news here. Okay? We truly have a good team, and we vet every piece of information that we get. Now, here is the shocker for the evening. The U.S. military now has executive authority to use deadly force. That's right, folks. Deadly force, fighting somebody, all the way to deadly, meaning they kill you. Deadly force to American citizens right here on our American soil. Let me repeat that for you, because I'm sure you're saying to myself, that doesn't sound right. What is Sinati doing? He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I'm going to give you the actual document, because I have the document, and we're going to give that to you in a moment. So the Department of Defense, the Secretary of Defense, and the President of the United States, they snuck this in to a Department of Defense directive, and I'll give you the directive number, and I will tell you, and we will be putting a copy up of it, redacted a little bit, redacted, but we are going to put up, and you're going to see the crux, word of the day, folks. You're going to see the crux of what we're talking about here. We're talking about our U.S. military, my beloved military. You're a veteran. I still do contract work here, and I don't know how this is going to play out, and we have a special guest with us today who we're going to be bringing him in. Don't bring him in yet, Kerry, but I'm very interested to discuss this with him as another member of military on how he feels about this, and he's very well-rounded. I'm excited to have him. So anyway, they are authorizing the use of force, deadly force, on U.S. citizens, really everybody, but we'll just say citizens because they're here. Where did this come from? This is not normal. And they snuck it in. I am going to post the document for you. It is going to be on your screen, and you're going to see it yourself. And we're going to highlight the section, and I want you to read it. I want you to think about it. I want you to, and again, we don't get political, but think about that when you go to the polls in November. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. I don't care who you vote for. You may like this idea. Then go with this administration. That's your choice. People shed blood and die for you to vote. And I support it. Even if you go in and vote for Mickey Mouse, I've written my name in for plenty of times just because I didn't like the Republican or the Democrat. So I wrote myself in because I didn't waste my vote. The fact of the matter is that we are talking U.S. military camouflage gear in your neighborhood. The lights went again. And to use in your neighborhood with the authority to ultimately execute. And you're going to ask, Sinati, how is this possible? Stay with me. We're going to continue. This is a subject that touches on emotions. It touches on family dynamics. It touches on your inner emotions, your outer emotions. It touches on people's employment. Somebody in the military that might be forced to do this. There's a constitutional right. There are rules that need to be played. There is a whole national security framework that is in place. FEMA. The Federal Emergency Management Administration. There's a whole framework in place, and now they're incorporating the military's ability to use force when they are requested by civilian authorities to assist local civilian law enforcement. That's right, folks. Local civilian law enforcement. Now, there's some speculation. I could give you Sinati's opinion, and I will, but I'll tell you it's my opinion on why this is in place and who really is behind it. Yes, you know who you are, and we're going to actually put your name up on the screen, because taking Americans' lives as a member of the military is not what anybody raised their right hand for. I thought, hey, Carrie, do you remember, what was it? Kent State University, right?
Yeah, that was one of the first, like, deadly riots.
It was a riot, and it was Kent State University, and a soldier in the Army National Guard shot and killed a student. Now, let me give you, it's not in my notes here, but I am going to make a little bit of a definition for folks out there before we go any further, because I can't assume everybody knows, this is stuff you just don't have memorized. John Q. Public, stay with me, Carrie, because you're like John Q. Public right now. When you see somebody in camouflage, what do you think? What's the first thought when you see somebody in camouflage?
Something's going on.
Well, besides that, what do you think they are? Yeah,
that's all. Oh, what do you mean? You mean they're for...
Yeah, like, who are they?
Well, it depends on the uniform, because they're all different. So,
but I'm saying like camouflage, like military though, right? Like military.
But
yeah.
There's a Navy camouflage and a right. Green camouflage. Right.
You're getting all slick on my pilot episode. You're going to call me out, Carrie?
Sorry.
No, but what I'm saying is like when you see the U.S. Army name tape on the camouflage, well, they call them OCPs right now. That's another thing. The military changes uniforms like all the time. I'd love to have that contract. Look me up. I'll make a uniform for you, too, if you want to make a new one every 5 years. When you see the U.S. Army tape, stay with me here, Carrie, for a sec, because you're an intricate part of this. You just see U.S. military. You don't really know that there's different levels, correct?
Well, I'm different than most people, and I would be
able pretend,
to
okay, Carrie, help okay. me out. It's a pilot okay. episode. Pretend you don't know. Pretend you haven't been working with me for a while, and you know all these answers already. But realistically, folks, when you see U.S. Army on a shirt, on the uniform, actually, they call it a blouse. I have no idea why. We can ask the good captain when he comes on if he knows why they call it a blouse. You see U.S. Army, that's all you think you see U.S. Army. But you have active duty U.S. Army, you have U.S. Army Reserve, and then you have Army National Guard. Now, I say this to you because the active duty Army and Army Reserve do not have the authority to perform law enforcement or to do any of that kind of stuff in the civilian sector. They fall under U.S. Code Title 10, and that is the federal code that the active duty military falls on. Now, at the same time, you may see somebody that says U.S. Army on their blouse, jacket, whatever you want to call it, but they are armed and maybe carrying handcuffs and maybe even in a police car. That's because the Army National Guard, when they're not on federal duty, they fall under U.S. Title 32. That is where their authority comes from, the governor or the mayor of Washington, D.C., the only one that is by a mayor. Well, they actually answer to the mayor and to Congress. But the National Guard under Title 32 is under the control of the governor. So they're wearing the same U.S. Army stuff. The only difference might be a patch on the arm, but you won't know what those, they're little symbols. You don't know what that. But they are still part of the U.S. Army, but when they're on duty under the orders of the governor, they fall under Title 32. They can perform law enforcement, and they can affect arrests. They can carry firearms. They can do what the governor and the adjutant general of that state says they're permitted to do. Whereas the active duty Army and the Army Reserve fall under Title 10, and they have no authority to do that. So now that we got the basic out of the way, with this new Department of Defense directive, they're kind of like wiping that clean, saying any military, there's no specificity on your second word of the day, folks. There's no specificity on which particular branch of the military will be the one to respond. Ultimately, they're saying if there is a need and a request from the civilian authorities for assistance, they will send the military and they have the power to take your life, which boggles my mind. I have a little bit of a piece to that. Again, not in the notes. It's a pilot episode. Roll with me, folks. I have a little thought on that because if you do have, let's say, active duty military, like you're on a military base and you're at the gate and they drive up to get coffee or something, they leave the base or whatever, they do have the right to defend themselves. They do have a right to use that weapon they're carrying while they're on duty. Even though they're under Title 10 orders, they're under federal guidance, they do have the right to defend themselves. But they're not out there making motor vehicle stops and doing all that kinds of stuff, where the National Guard could, if that's what the governor and the adjutant general and whatever else in that particular state wants to do. That's why this is a very interesting directive. So let's try to chop it up here a little bit. So recent directives over the years have expanded military powers, which we think is good. And again, we have a guest in here that's going to get into this great convo, and I can't wait to get him on. They've been gradually extending the authority and the powers of the military. You know this from the intelligence world. Everybody knows who Edward Snowden is. Everybody knows that he was a whistleblower. He leaked. The program was called PRISM, by the way, folks. The name of the program that Edward Snowden outed back in 2012. Am I right on that, Kerry? 12, 2012, 13? Or maybe the good captain can dump it up into the chat. Anyway, it's somewhere around there, 11, 12, 13, somewhere, where he gave up this information. Now, the PRISM program was like a net. Imagine yourself as a fisherman. And you're out there trying to, if you watch any of the Greatest Catch or whatever on TV, they throw a net in the water and try to scoop as many tuna and whatever. That's pretty much what PRISM was. PRISM was they threw a net out there and they scooped up all telecommunications and they arbitrarily had access to everybody's data. That was obviously a big expansion of the intelligence community. Now, we need to trickle this back for our younger folk. If you looked at pre-9/11, 2001, 9/11, the intelligence community was far different. CIA had a whole different mission. They actually literally followed different missions than they had now. They did a lot more experiments, and I'm sure you've all heard of MK Ultra and all this other stuff out there. We're not here for conspiracy theories, but the mission changed. We also created a new department, the Department of Homeland Security. Tom Ridge was the first Secretary of Homeland Security, which was created after 9/11. Former President George W. Bush created the new department, which created the TSA, right? We all know about, we go through the airport. Our life has changed after 9/11. I trickle that into the military has been expanding its authority as well. We had Operation Noble Eagle, which was signed in on order right after 9/11, which basically put anybody that was in the National Guard on duty somewhere at a bridge, a tunnel. I mean, I was working in New York City and New Jersey a lot of hours on duty for that. Everything kind of expanded from there. So, Carrie, let me know if I see Hulk. But you'll trust me, folks, you will like this show once you start to get to know with how I flow. It'll work out well. So they've been expanding the military powers. So what does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for our children? What does it mean for my document, the Constitution of the United States? It means, yes, the amendments are cemented. They're there. But there's always maneuvering. And like I say, if you listen to the other show, the law is not black and white. It's gray. When I teach any of these classes at one of the universities I teach at, I show like in the classroom, you know, you got the little squares for the tiles. That's the law. You walk on that line. That's the law. But 1 inch to the left and 1 inch to the right is still part of the law. It all depends on how you interpret it, how that lawyer, that judge, that analyst, they interpret the law. Now, apparently they interpreted things a lot different at the NSA when they were running the PRISM program. I'm really not sure how they came up and thought that this was a good idea to tap everybody's phones. I mean, we were tapping foreign dignitaries of foreign countries. A leader of a foreign nation's phone was tapped. There was actually a copy machine in a country that I cannot name. The copy machine was in the office of a very high-ranking person in another country. They had no idea that the copy boy, I say that nicely, folks, please don't bot and troll me. You basically, they didn't even know. They had the copy boy, and please don't be offended by that, but the copy guy worked for the U.S. as like an informant. He embedded a reader in there that would actually, every time this leader of that nation, and I'm not going to say what nation, it's an adversary of ours. And every time they made a photocopy, we, the United States, got a copy of that photocopy. Every single thing that copy machine did, whether it printed from a computer or somebody put a picture on there, we got a copy of it. With that, I definitely know you're going to come back because you want to know more. We'll be right back after these words.
Here's your chance to meet the authors and hear about their exciting new projects before they hit the big screen at the next year Dead Man's Film Festival. Go to MVPOnDemand.com for more information. See you in the grave.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks. And here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift. It's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports, changing lives one at a time.
All right, folks, we've been having technical difficulties today. I don't know what's going on. Sound, lighting, I don't know. But anyway, as we truck forward, there's a lot to unpack here. You know, I don't want to get too deep, but I think this is very important. And you have to know this and you have to read it for yourself. As someone who has worked in the intelligence field and also studied the Constitution deeply, is considered an expert in that area, this is alarming to me. I know how just delicate this balance is between security and liberty. And you know, this is not in the notes again. This is just a thought. At the end of the day, when you sacrifice a little bit of privacy for a little bit of security, you get nothing. You get neither. Our framers, our forefathers of this wonderful nation we call the United States, the greatest nation in the world, created a document that is the foundation, the bedrock of who we are, the bedrock of our existence. You have to keep that in mind when you move forward. But at the same time, as somebody that knows the threats that we face, somebody that's faced these threats myself, read them, seen them, worked on them, interviewed them, been to different locations, watched, learned, got information. I know I have the unfortunate ability to know what could have happened, what has happened, and what we potentially could face moving forward. It kind of jades my opinion, but at the same time, I also studied the Constitution deeply, and I believe in it. My book is coming out in about 3.5 weeks regarding the Constitution. So there is a delicate balance between the two. You know, you have to weigh that out, but you don't want to give up your privacy. You don't want to give up your privacy and security. So there is a delicate balance between the two. And the fact of the matter is that where does that balance end? So at this point, I think it's time to bring in our special guest, Captain James Von Tock. Welcome to the show, James. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Captain, I'm sorry. But we're going to call you James, but you're Captain. Please, you're a Purple Heart recipient.
Correct. Yeah.
You are a part-time police officer in the city of New York, NYPD.
Auxiliary, correct, yes.
Yeah, part-time police, yeah. But, hey, you're out there in a uniform protecting the people. Hats off to you. Hello, Governor. I don't know where I got that from. I love that line. But, no, really, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here. So before we get into the crux of this conversation, because where do I put this document out we talk about? Tell the folks in like 2 minutes a little bit about you, because you're going to be back contributing and I want them to get to know you.
Yes, I was born and raised in New York City, graduated from St. John's University. I then went on to graduate from law school at Turo Law Center out of Long Island, New York. And yep. Then I went active duty in the Army. I served in the infantry. And fortunately, I was
11 Bravo?
11 yes, Bravo. 11, yeah, 11 Bravo. But as an officer, you're called 11 Alpha. Unfortunately, I was injured in the war zone. My job was working as a military advisor.
May we ask, and it's totally up to you. May we ask about your injury? Because I think the American people need to know the sacrifice that people made. That's the only reason I asked.
My first injury was I was a commander within the Hummer.
Oh, remember one thing, you and I know you. We're military buddies.
Yes.
They don't know what TC means. Yes. You got to remember that folks don't know.
Correct. Well, I was the commander inside a Hummer. So I sat in the front passenger right seat, and our vehicle ran over an IED. That was my first injury.
Where were you? Is that Iraq?
Yeah, that was in Iraq.
Where in Iraq, may I ask?
In Baghdad.
Outside the green?
Yes, outside the green.
Let me guess, on the bridge?
No, it was on a dirt road.
Shocking. I figured it'd be the bridge. That's where everything happened.
Yes, for sure. Right. And the second time I was injured, I was on the military base. It was called FOB, Forward Operating
Forward
Base.
Forward Operating Base, right. Thank you for, yeah, I appreciate you explaining.
Correct. Constitution. And a Katusha rocket landed about 15 to 20 meters away from me and exploded. And that's why I suffered a traumatic brain injury, TBI, which affected also my
aquifers. I talk about that a lot, by the way. I don't mean to cut you off. There is a delay a little bit, so I'm not being rude.
Yes.
I talk about that a lot, and I dedicate a lot of time to suicide. PTSD, but I don't like the D. It's PTSS because you don't have a disorder. You were made that way for doing something. It's a syndrome. But anyway, we got plenty to chat about. You're going to keep going. Go on. Go on.
Yes, yeah, so I suffered a optic nerve damage in my left eye, and as well as sciatic, an injury to my lower back spine area.
And let me guess, the VA takes really good care of you, right?
Yes, due to the fact that I'm a ProPart recipient and the documents are already showing my injuries, it's easier for the Veterans Administration to process my packet. And I was processed within about 30 days.
I have somebody I want, and I didn't mean to cut you off, because again, there's a delay. So please don't think that I'm being rude. So, because I can see you on the big screen out here.
Yes.
Remind me to let you know, as another comrade of ours who actually, you know, everybody's coming back with cancer and diseases now. You know this, right? He's another one, and he's in stage four. Young guy, our age, really, really sad. I'm getting him on the show. We got to help him with some GoFundMe because they're not covering, they're not helping him out. But anyway, go on. I thought of it because I know that you're a fighter like that, and you're a guy that'll stand up to the bad guy and the bully, regardless if you get hurt, because I do that too.
Most definitely. So when I was medically retired from the Army, I was matched with a service dog. And I had it for about 10, 11 years to help me to rehab for my injuries. Unfortunately, she didn't pass away about 2 years ago. And
did they give her honors? Did they give her honors?
Correct. Yes. I've been honored with her.
Did she get funeral honors? Because I've been to a canine funeral. I've been to a canine funeral with the honor guard, the flag, everything.
No, she did not receive any of.
She came to you after. Honors. She wasn't a combat.
No, she was not a combat. I received it after I was medically retired.
Yes. I remember at one point, and I don't mean to cut you off, but we're just chatting here. You're going to be on for the rest of the show, so we'll just chat. Yeah. They were not letting people take back cats and stuff, remember?
Yeah, correct. Because
I adopted a cat that I found, and I wanted to bring a cat home, and they wouldn't let me. And then some people had actually, like, working dogs. We call them military working dogs, right? Not canine, military working. And they would leave them. The guys would want to take them home. They would be perfect companions for somebody like you.
Correct, yes. Well, it's because of, you know, different rules and regulations through the military and coming through Department of Defense. So, I mean, there were some veterans, they were able to find a way through, the congressperson in back doors and got some leeway.
Everybody knows a guy. They know a supply sergeant to get an extra pair of boots, right?
Yeah, sure.
They got a guy on the inside.
Yes, after when my service...
Can I ask you a question before you go on? What is that wonderful picture behind you?
The wonderful what?
The picture behind you.
Oh, the picture is...
For the folks that are watching at home. They might.
Oh, yes. It's a picture of Paris. As you can see,
I love it.
The Eiffel Tower is behind me.
Yeah. Very nice.
Correct.
Have you been?
Yes, I have.
Nice, nice.
Correct.
And that's probably... You did not go there for military. You went there... Actually, that's probably one of the trips you went for fun.
Yes, for casual. Yes.
That's one of the only places I didn't puddle hop either. France didn't want us there. Don't worry. We didn't want to go there anyway.
Well, it's a lot of history, and as you know, France is the reason why America has its independence. Because without France, there would be no America.
Right. No, very true. But let's fast forward to World War II. I think we're equal. I think we're even.
Right? For sure. Yes.
I almost said an eye for an eye, but then I would have felt like I was making fun of you, and I'm not.
Yes.
But you know what? The congressman got an eye patch, too.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah. Does that bother you or no? The patch?
No, it doesn't.
I can't imagine living with that.
I have both of my eyes, just that my optic nerves are damaged. So when I'm walking or moving or talking, I can get very dizzy because
equilibrium.
Of the
equilibrium, right?
Correct. Yes.
And it's messing with the fluid in your ears, and you don't know where you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you get nauseous and everything?
To keep my balance as well as. To not feel any of the dizziness from the TBI. It's all interconnected.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you know you had to experience that. That's a terrible thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I know you're proud of it. Nobody wallows over it. You know, we do what we do because we do. You know?
Yes, I mean, hopefully in the future they will be available for eye surgeries. They can replace the eye totally, or even repair the optic nerve damage.
You would think we can do all kinds of stuff. We can't fix.
Of course, there's a fellow veteran,
and they test everything on us anyway, right?
Most test
all the good medical stuff that's out there in the civilian world came from us.
Yeah. There's a fellow veteran located in New York City. He lives in Staten Island. He lost all four of his limbs, and the U.S. Military after.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes,
I know
that's him. In Morocco.
I know him. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, remember, I'm from that area. Sorry. I'm from Jersey. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yes.
I've been to a benefit for him before.
Yes.
So go on.
After when I was going through rehab and had my service dog, I noticed that I was losing a lot of comrades or people that I knew of within the military from suicide.
Oh, don't get me started on that. We can do a whole episode on it. And I've done
it.
I do want to do that. And I know you got something going, but let me get to the crux of this conversation and we'll get back to that. Hold that thought. Is it still 22 a day? I think it went up.
It's more than 22 a day. And the issue is that some family members do not want
to report it.
Release it.
Right. So, and it also affects life insurance and everything. Yeah.
Most stuff.
And of course,
when a service member commits suicide or a veteran, sometimes a family member then also follows through with the suicide too as well. So we get secondary causes.
Right. Or like a suicide pact. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Correct.
Right. And you know what? I mean, it's a terrible thing. It really is a terrible thing. All right. Before we go on down, because that's a great, I've done plenty of shows on that, and I know you have a program you're involved in, and I definitely would like to talk more about that. I bring on the other show. That would be a good show for you to come on. So we're going to do a little talking points information. So you were in the green room, and you were listening to what I was talking about. It is the Department of the DOD, Department of Defense Directive, folks, 5240.01. That broadly expanded the military authority. And in that very large document, there's a little paragraph that made changes here to what they can do. So I'm gonna throw some facts and then we're gonna, you know, chop it up a little. So in 2023, the directive was reissued allowing the use of deadly force in a self-defense situation on US soil. Now, here's my favorite word. The posse, how does it go? Help me out, Gary. I can't do it. Oh, posse comitatus. Did I do it right? I can never pronounce that right. Never, ever do it. But that act is says that the military can't do domestic law enforcement and et cetera. But this directive, the one I just named, I'll give you the number again, folks. The Department of Defense Directive 5240.01. That directive has actually pushed the boundaries. So as a veteran, and all the wonderful things you're involved in, what say you on the whole they can use deadly force? Not for defense, we're talking now potentially offensive reasons. I mean, it's not like you hurt me. It's like expanded. What say you on that?
Well, based on my background, being a history major in college and also a law graduate, and understanding, you know, the Constitution, there's already laws on the books for the mayor by using the police department, and then secondary, the state, the governor using their state guard to act, to defend, to have.
That's if they have a state guard.
Yeah, correct.
You're talking about the Title 32, state guard, state defense.
Yes, but the state National Guard, correct.
Like New York has a big one.
Yes. So there's already parameters there to protect the citizens.
Title 32. Yeah.
Correct. So then why is the federal government putting this additional
action? Thank you. Thank you, Captain. Why is that?
The issue is this. It's from my experience being on the other side working with the government when I was active duty, there is something called top secret intelligence stuff. There may be some information that we are not privy to.
I'm not privy. Ah, you used the right word. They're not privy to.
That This is a necessity directed that is needed in case those outside agitators get within a protest to give false information to the people that are peacefully protest.
Misinformation and disinformation.
Correct. And then agitate them.
Yes. See, so now you made a very good, again, what were you going to say? That last sentence?
Yeah, my last sentence was, this may be the reason why for that additional directive.
Now, my sources, who are one of which was actually involved in the crafting of this, you are correct partially, but there was a very big look at, they're saying that they're trying to inflammatize President Trump, former President Trump. And, you know, I like it. If you heard me, I don't ever badmouth our president, no matter what party they are. I don't care. You are our leader. And I have a duty as just a good citizen. Forget any oath we took. Just a good citizen. But there is some worries that some of these people, if the election doesn't go the way it pretty much looks like it's going to go, but if something were to happen and he were not to be elected and there were to be a whole question again, this is like a preemptive strike against another January 6th. From what I understand is that it's more of what you said is what it looks good on paper. Your argument is what's good on paper. I got you. We're good. What's good on paper. But at the same time, are we really worried? Like, how many foreign adversaries are going to actually get in and do that? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to start a war in the middle of a January 6th type riot. You might get some idiots that are going to do something dumb, you know, but you have to ask yourself, why do we need to use deadly force for that? And like we were saying, why not utilize the Army National Guard or your State Guard under Title 32? Then you don't need a Department of Defense directive authorizing use of force. The mayor of Washington, D.C., or the governor of any state can activate their guard as much authority as you give them.
Exactly. Is that also every single police department, the majority of them around the country, also have an auxiliary force. I'm an auxiliary police officer from a New York City Police Department. We also have that addition too.
So there's already and people don't realize you could be armed because some auxiliary are not and reserves are not armed, but there's nothing in the statute that says you can't be.
Correct. It all depends.
Just like the New York Guard could be your arm if they decide you need it.
Yes. Yeah. There's already enough police officers, state defense forces, as well as the state National Guard. There's more than enough.
Freaking NYPD is bigger than some country's army.
Correct. It's all about the planning, the city and the state officials planning it out properly. So there should not be any issue of needing the federal government to come in.
Yes, I am 100% with you. I am anybody that knows I'm a Republican. I mean, I'm not going to hide that. I don't badmouth and I don't pick my friends like that. What you're saying there is like fascinating. Say that again. I want to break that down. Make that statement again.
Yes. So number one, based on every single city in the United States, at a minimum, they're going to have auxiliary police. Number two, they're going to have police. And then there's going to be a state guard as well as state National Guard. That's the control.
Which every state has a National Guard. Every state has a state guard. What are there, 32 states have a state guard? How many get state? 24? I don't remember. How many are recognized?
Yes, but also between governors, they can always request another state's state guard to come.
People don't realize that Florida, our Governor DeSantis has his state guard on the border in Texas. Correct. Texas has a very robust state guard. Let me get to some more points here. But you made some great points there. And, you know, the fact that they can arm. Actually, they can deputize anybody at any time, if you like. I mean, the law says you can do that. It doesn't take more than somebody in authority to deputize you. And you don't even need to go to any training. Technically, you're supposed to get firearms qualified, but that's sitting 10 minutes on the range. Listen, we've all been to the range in the military.
Most definitely.
I had some friends that did that. Like, they were like, how do I have like 80 holes in my target? And this guy's got three. And I only have a 20 round, because all his rounds are crossing into my lane. But you still passed, right?
Yeah.
So they could arm people up. So
the major one point is there's already laws in the books.
Yeah.
That if.
Why recreate the wheel?
Yeah. If the legislature and the state officials from the city to the state work properly together as a cohesive unit, There's no need for the federal government to even come.
You want to know why? I love it, what you're saying. We're on the same page.
Yes.
You want to know why? This is a show of power. It's a show of play. Because they could have, like you said, any municipality, D.C., wherever, could have the full resources of federal government if they all they got to do is ask. All they need to do is ask. Why force it down their throat? Why, like you said, create, why reinvent the wheel? Why do it? Title 32 exists. It's there. If you actually read the Constitution, everybody belongs to the militia. You ever read that clause?
Most definitely.
Yep, I know you did. That's why I called
it. Yes.
But they are. I mean, then there's like the, obviously the recognized ones that go, you know, that uniformed and whatever. But it's like the draft, the selective service. Everybody at a certain age in your state can be called to military duty under Title 32 in a crisis. What you're saying is great. It's just craziness. So presidential authorization may be necessary for certain situations involving certain disturbances or hazardous materials. So I ponder this back. You have your Juris Doctorate as well. It's all about the wording. The presidential authorization may be necessary, may, for situations involving civil disturbances or hazardous materials. So what are the other situations that do not require an executive presidential authority? I guess we got to dig through it. Peace from here, use of deadly force, only approved when confrontations between law enforcement and civilians are likely, requiring strict oversight and compliance. That verbiage very much rattles me a little bit. Use of deadly force is only approved when confrontations between law enforcement and civilians are likely. Where were they when the whole country was on fire over police, you know, shootings and, you know, Freddie Gray and people that got killed by the police? I have no opinion. I'm not speaking about that. I'm just saying, where were these people when they created this document? Where was Title 32?
Yeah.
When all that was happening?
From you reading exactly what it says in the document, to me, if I use that statement in the
to
defend myself, I would be arrested.
Stay on your ground, you'll be done.
The only reason I'm supposed to pull out my firearm and utilize
if you're gonna use it,
it's not to shout out a command.
No, neutralize.
Is to
mitigate.
Shoot and kill when I'm at imminent threat
of death or bodily, imminent, what is it, permanent bodily injury or death. Yeah.
Correct. That is the only reason to use deadly force. And from you reading what that document says, that's making it an open-ended where...
Yeah, it's just handing it away. You're just handing it away. I got some more to go on here, which on this. It says legal compliance. All actions must align with the posse comitatus. Did I say it right? Help me out, Gary. Jump in here at any time.
Actually, I think you got it.
Did I get it right? Yay! And basically the directives are, that's where it's supposed to fall under, but it really kind of like really murks the water for me. There's legal implications here. I mean, experts argue that this directive may stretch the limits the Quasi-Parliamentary Act. I said it wrong again. Blurring the lines between military and civilian police. Now, think back, Captain. Think back when people saw National Guard on the streets. And remember, was it Portland that people were showing up at OCPs? Folks, OCPs are the new camouflage uniform. The military changes, you know, uniforms all the time. But remember when there was people showing up in uniforms and white unmarked vans, and they were jumping out in full body armor, weapons, in OCPs, military camouflage, but no name tapes? You remember that?
Correct, yes.
A lot of people are very upset about it, and they were saying, blur the lines. Oh, I feel this way too. When you see, and I want to be careful not to step on toes, but when you see certain agencies, even recently, incidents that have occurred, when you see federal agencies rolling up wearing military camouflage, fatigues, OCPs, whatever you might want to call them, it is very confusing to the civilian. And now people are saying this further blurries the line of who is civilian and who is not, and who has authority and who doesn't. I don't know. I mean, it is very, very, it's going to be a confusing experience. The next part's for you is historical precedent. I put this in just because you said you're a history guy. I'm going to call you out on the air. No, I'm not going to. So historical precedent, the deployment of military forces during the 1992 LA riots, Rodney King, remember, serves as an example of how these powers have been used previously. Now, we were both very young for that, you know, so I remember seeing videos. Carrie, do you remember the LA riots, 1992, Rodney King?
Yes, I do. I was watching a lot of that on TV. It was quite...
Do you remember seeing military out there or no?
I don't remember that.
It wasn't a sandbag question. I just was wondering. I don't remember myself, but it was video. But you're a little older than me, so that's why I'm asking. But yeah, anyway, so we have constitutional concerns here. We have the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment implications. Hands down, Fourth and Fifth implications. Because this directive could violate the Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure, as well as your Fifth Amendment due process. Everybody sees Fifth Amendment as just, you know, your right to confront your accuser and, you know, not testify against yourself, et cetera. But it is part of the due process. So that is a concern constitutional. I actually should reach out. Hey, if you're watching the show, Professor Dershowitz, give me a call. Send me an email. I would love to have you on the show and talk about that. One of the best professors I ever had, Dershowitz. Really great professor. Here's an interesting statistic for you. A recent survey shows that 65% of legal professionals, you know, that's the full gamut of legal people, believe that this directive raises serious constitutional questions regarding civil liberties. That's a huge number. 65% of legal professionals. Legal professional can include anybody, but that's a large chunk of any population. I just foresee this as being challenged in court, and I feel sorry for the first, like, young private or whatever, a young lieutenant or whatever, and they're out there doing whatever. They have to pull their trigger on an American citizen. Not only are they going to face the mental anguish and pain and all the PTSD symptoms that go along with that, but then they're going to end up facing the justice system. Kind of like you said, if you pull your trigger, you know, stand your ground sounds great on paper until you're the guy in the courtroom looking at the guy in the row, looking at the table full of people that have an unlimited amount of money to destroy your life. Why would you want to pull the trigger? If we're having, here's a twist, not in my notes, you're going to like, we're having such a problem with recruiting right now. You want the younger people to read this and you think that's going to bolster our recruiting numbers? You're telling somebody, no, you used to have to go out and just kill the enemy, but now you may have to kill your neighbor too. This has to go through the head. We think about it differently because we're older. Think about if you were like 18, you have to sign up for the Selective Service. You know that Congress is changing the rule on that too. They're going to force you to register without your permission. Like, you used to voluntarily go and do it. It was a law that they're going to automatically do it for you when you turn 18. And they're talking about including women. Did you hear that?
Correct, yes.
These are just craziness. We're going to take a short break. We're going to have the good captain with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute because my producer's going to scream at me. We have a hard close. We'll be right back.
At the Ramran Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, Eric A. Sinani, Unplugged. Perspectives and Insights, or Insights and Perspectives. I don't remember the name of my own show yet. sorry, guys. I switched the words. Who knows? Anyway, we're here with the good captain again. How are you? Did you enjoy your little two-minute break there?
Most definitely.
Very good. You get a fresh coffee? Did you eat all the food in the green room? No, I'm just kidding. We really have to balance security and liberty. I said that before. And really, you understand, but not many people see the lens that we see and know, and they don't understand how close we are every day to something catastrophically happen. But we still, as lawyers, have to put in our head that there is written law. It's codified. It's there. It's in a document. It's the framework. So you got to balance. What a balancing act. Because when you know the things that you know, and I know, you say, I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want my neighbors to experience that. I don't want anybody. I mean, unless you're a crappy person and you want that. But I mean, if you're honestly a good human being, you don't want anybody to experience that. But at the same time, you have to weigh, what's the saying? You got to lose some good people to save the herd, right? You got to lose some to save the herd. So people like they feel that way with their rights almost. Oh, it's okay. I've heard so many people tell me, if you're not breaking the law, what do you care if they're reading your emails? I kind of agree with you. But let's remember we're the United States and we're not Iran, Iraq, Syria, Russia, North Korea. We're not these places. You're not committing crimes. I'm not committing crimes, regardless of what somebody might say. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want you to read my emails. You know what I mean? Like, I sent you an email. It's for you. It's a tough balance. Would not want to be that young private stuck out there in like a January 6th situation or any situation. And I'm not pulling party politics. I'm just saying a situation like that. Could you imagine? And the disrespect that this generation has, just everybody across the board. They're so self-absorbed with social media. They're self-absorbed with false reality is and their fake persona that they put out. They don't have a clue. So you want that guy out there with a weapon, and then you want the other guy that has no respect? We're asking for trouble. We are asking for trouble. That, now, again, this is Sonati's opinion. Do you agree or disagree? You can disagree. I'll be okay. But I think we are opening the door to something we didn't need to open a door. Nobody knocked. Don't answer the door. What say you?
I think it goes back, you know, to very simple. If we can get Americans to sometimes watch television shows that definitely educate the brain. One show I remember growing up watching was Law and Order. Okay.
Dude, love it. Love it. Love
Every
it.
Time they wanted to get some information off a perspective American citizen or a resident, they were asked, the detectives were asked to seek that judge at any time of the day to sign that warrant.
Right.
And that's what we have. We have the laws available. So there is no need.
The tools are there.
Extra laws and executive orders to be done.
Thank you.
It's
Thank you.
Overreach. Yeah. And then also.
Good word. Overreach.
Said,
good word.
When does it end? There's a slippery slope.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's a slippery. I love it. Slope. Slippery slope.
Correct.
And once you take a step on that slope, and we've been covering it on the Hostile Zone, the other show.
Yes.
I've been covering a lot of this stuff all year long. We're going to get deeper in this show than the other one, but I've been covering a lot of slippery slope things. I mean,
yes.
Once you go, that's it.
And that's why there's organizations like the ACLU, which are very important to protect the rights of Americans or even people that are permanent residents here from being
honestly anybody that's here. Anybody that's here. I mean, even the illegals that came here illegally, they're still human beings.
Correct. And our laws do protect them based on.
Yes, they are protected. Yeah. I mean, you're here. I don't like the whole immigration issue. I mean, it's not a topic for today, but you have to ask yourself I saw some of these videos and we actually are going down to the border to film an episode of the other show. I've actually been seeing people holding their baby over their head and a wife on his back in the water up to his neck. Something must be really bad where you're coming from that you're willing to carry your toddler over your head in a roaring rapid water, knowing, and your wife on your back. You got no clothes, nothing, right? And on the other side, there's armed border agents, National Guard, and everybody else that's only going to try to get you and send you back. Something is going on in these other locations that people are so desperate to do that. See, now that's the non-Republican thought of me, right? I got you there.
Correct. And it all has to do with American foreign policy. What is going on with American ambassador in their home country and what coordination is being done with that foreign government? It's all connected through American foreign policy. As you recall from history, America has the big stick foreign policy in the Western Hemisphere. Nothing goes on in the Western Hemisphere without the USA.
Right.
The only is Cuba. No, Cuba's the great issue. But other than that, nothing goes on in the Western Hemisphere without that American big stick. So the issue
is. But here's the thing. And you got a big stick in your hand there, too, right? What is that?
Walking most definitely.
Nice.
The reason why these illegals are coming over our borders is a direct connection with American foreign policy.
Absolutely. Hands down.
Activity.
Hands down. Hands down. You're 100%. 100%. And here's the other thing. And I don't want to get off on a thing because we got to keep going, but I like it. Here's the thing. How much money are we sending to these other countries already in aid? And whatever, humanitarian, military aid, whatever we're giving them. We give everybody money.
Correct.
Give everybody, just go down there, but then go into San Francisco and you can't go shopping because someone's going to mug you or you're going to step in human feces on the street. But we're sending money to every other country. And half of the people we send money to, they use that money to do something stupid to us.
Yes. And we also have to look at, there's different organizations that rate different countries on their corruption. So that's
right.
an issue. Because right. like I said, we can go to many stores. We can look at the tags on our clothes. I have some clothes made in Honduras, but why
right,
are
yeah.
people coming across the border? We have factories over there. They are jobs.
That's because they're paying them 10 cents an hour.
That could
and we're
case.
Still paying $150 for a shirt at the mall.
Yes, but we have to look at and analyze the data. What?
Right.
How much money is being given to certain countries and where's the money going? You got to track the money.
Nobody same follows thing, the money,
same
man.
Thing, same thing with when we send military aid to different countries out of Europe. Follow the money, take a status report of what weapons we're sending, and make sure those weapons are being used and not transferred
yep.
someplace
Absolutely.
Else.
I was having this discussion with another lawyer today, and we were discussing Israel and Ukraine and all this stuff. And there was a question about, was Israel stopping humanitarian aid going into Gaza? Now, if they are, there's international law that says you can no longer assist in providing arms, even if they're your ally. If they are not allowing humanitarian aid in, then we are basically part of a conspiracy of committing like atrocious acts to the people, because we're providing the arms while they're stopping the food and the humanitarian.
Correct.
But a whole other topic.
Yeah, it'd be a direct violation of its own U.S. law, as well as direct violation of international law.
International court.
That's a major issue why President Biden decided to make a port from a U.S. Navy ship to deliver aid into
right.
Gaza
built that,
directly,
yeah.
bypassing the ECPs, the entry control points that Israel controls. And number
right.
two, that's why the U.S. military was dropping airborne pilots of MREs.
Right.
Ready to eat.
Right, right, right.
So
good. Thank you for saying what it was.
Trying to balance it off, saying that there may be issues of the ECP's entry control points to be controlled by Israel, because Israel says that they have to inspect all the goods. How long does it take? Well, you know what? We don't want any issues at the U.S. government. We're just going to go ahead and just drop MREs. So
you know what this sounds like to me? This reminds me of UN inspectors looking for weapons of mass destruction. It sounds like to me. I mean, you can't go there and find out if they're not giving the humanitarian aid to the people. It's not that hard. I mean, with the technology that we have, we can read your cell phone from a satellite. You're sending a message to your girlfriend, I can read it. So you're telling me you can't see what's coming in? And then they're taking advantage in the Horn of Africa to get all the shipping lanes shut down with all this piracy, right? I mean, it's just costing us trillions and trillions of dollars. Anyway, let's keep moving on. Like I said before, you have to have privacy and security, a happy middle. Because like I said, and I it's a quote, I've used it plenty of times, but when you take away one to sacrifice the other, you gain nothing.
Nothing.
You gain neither.
Correct.
So you got to make a stance. National security perspective. HUMINT, H-U-M-I-N-T, folks, that stands for human intelligence. Something that I've done, gathering intelligence by talking interpersonal conversations, getting into places and making friends with people and becoming part of the whatever area. And you're gathering information. You're not actively going to do anything to them. You're the person actually grabbing the intelligence. They call that human. So human and domestic threats. Intelligence agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, have expanded their surveillance of domestic threats in coordination with the military. Key point here. Probably sounded a little off, but if you put the pieces together, they're now up in their game and you're coordinating with the military. And now, and with this new directive in place, a recipe for some stuff. And I'm all for protect, obviously doing what we need to do to protect the lives, but we also have to protect the values of what our nation was founded.
Exactly.
And when we take that away, what makes us any different than North Korea? I mean, because North Korea can say, hey, where our people are safe. And that's true. We haven't dropped any bombs on them. No one else is dropping bombs on them. So I guess ultimately the North Koreans are safe, right? But they also have no privacy and no freedom. So you got to weigh the options. So the impact, the coordination between military intelligence, MI, and civilian law enforcement raises concern about oversight and accountability, because who is Big Brother's big brother? And they have a father. And don't forget, they got a mother. So who, and this is what was a pre-9/11 issue when I was talking about CIA before. CIA's mission is still technically the same. People don't understand what CIA's mission is. CIA, it stands for Central Intelligence Agency. They does not mean they are the ultimate king or queen. Does not mean that they are the boss of intelligence. They're just the central hub. They're not even the most powerful intelligence agency. Sorry, guys. But there's other ones that you don't even know of. I may not even ever mention on this show that are far more powerful, far more skilled. And not to say that CIA is not, but we're talking some organizations that are out there that don't even exist. Oh, they literally, you know what I'm saying, right? Help me explain. There are people that don't exist. They don't have tax returns. They don't belong anywhere. They pop up. Though they exist. So why you worry about CIA? I don't know. But pre 9/11, there was a lot of testing. Remember, they were doing MK Ultra. They were looking at having people do, using ESP, viewing, remote viewing with the sixth sense kind of thing. They were experimenting on all this kind of thing. That's kind of what they were doing. But post 9/11, they actually went to the core mission of being the hub. And the reason was because nobody talked to each other. And here we are now 20 years later, right? More than 20 years later. So what, 22 years later, here we are in that same situation. Just a different. I always say it's the same sandwich, the bread stale, keep the crappy bologna and cheese and put fresh bread on. It's a new sandwich. Here we are again. Same thing. It's a new sandwich, same crappy meat. Because now we are now, nobody's in charge. Who's overseeing? Who is now supposed to be the Directorate of National Intelligence? That office was created, but I don't see where that's written in there. Interesting statistic. In the past year, 15% of domestic counterterrorism operations were military intelligence. Interesting fact, because then you ask yourself, oh, well, we don't operate inside the confines of the United States. That's CIA's favorite line, NSA's favorite line. We don't spy on Americans. We don't operate. Our charter, our the code does not allow us to work inside the grounds of the United States. You and I know something way different than that. And this statistic right here says it for yourself. Military intelligence. Now, I can tell you, and you know the program, but I'm not going to say the acronym. There's a program that's a part of the National Guard where they do intelligence for civilians. I think you know what I'm talking about. And it's been going on for years and years and years and years. We did a lot of operations on that. I know what it was. You know what it is. But this is a spike, 15% of military intelligence. What are they doing? It also makes people alarmed. Are they extending their reach, or is there a big pink elephant in the room and we're not seeing it? Is something, we're going to hit it. It's something going to, or is there something that we don't know that they're fighting for that could be potentially devastating to us? And we need that? Or are they just overreaching, like you said? We are coming to almost a hard close. I'm going to fly through, and we are going to have, I'm going to throw a couple stats up. Public awareness is at an all-time low. 47% of Americans are unaware of this directive. They don't even know that there was, they don't even know what Title 32 is. They don't even know that, like I was saying to Carrie before, my executive producer, you see U.S. Army, you don't know that there's several layers of that. You just don't know. There's always a political debate that can go back and forth. But Eric's Take, new segment of the new show. What do you think? Eric's Take. This isn't just a legal issue. It's a political issue. We need to ask ourselves, and I'm looking right at you folks. You need to ask yourself. You would ask me, ask everybody around you. Ask yourself if Congress will step in to redefine these powers, or will they at least checks and balances, right? Checks and balances. Will they at least oversight and take a look? We know what's going on with the UFOs and the UAPs. We know that certain people did not have access to special programs, and it's called special program access and certain security clearance stuff. Some people don't. It's compartmentalized. So is Congress even going to have access? Is this going to be part of the black budget? Lots of money goes all over the place in the black budget. So you have to ask them, are they going to step in and redefine these powers? Or if we're going toward an expansion of now a military-run government. I mean, I can't believe what you're even saying. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. Did you think we'd ever hear that come out of your mouth or be on a talk show in the United States where we're talking about the potential of the military actually controlling our civilian government? I mean, it's mind-boggling. What say you? I was saying we're looking at like a North Korea situation here.
Yeah, possibly. We can always speculate what may happen. But the issue is that also I'm not privy, and the rest of America is not privy to what is the top secret threats that are going on that the government knows. We have to give, as American citizens, the benefit of the doubt.
I think that we feel differently about that.
But we have to know where the balance is.
The balance of power, yes.
There's money available. There is people who have jobs that are able to do the jobs that can funnel the information up to the federal agency to let them know what the threat is. The system is already there. We have to use a system. There is actually no reason for that directive, only if
they don't need it.
There is top secret information that we're not privy to.
And they're not disseminating it to the right people either. Correct. Now, if you want to, a case in point, look at Governor Ron DeSantis. Reenacted the Florida State Guard, gave them a broad stroke of power. Florida took over the investigation of the attempted assassination of President Trump. Now, you got to ask yourself, here is it, that's one state pushing back. We have 49 other states. We're down to Sinatti's final brief, and then I'm going to give you a final closeout. All right, buddy? Are you still alive with us, Carrie? Opening pilot episode ran a little late, but it's like a special episode. Don't worry. You there, Carrie? You sleeping?
Yes, I'm here.
No, I'm playing with you. All right, well, we're almost done here. So Sinatti's final debrief. In a world where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, it's our mission, your mission, Captain's mission, Carrie's mission, everybody's mission. We're one family. We're one United States, not separate states. It's our mission to seek clarity on everything. I say this on my other show. Don't just Google and find something and look at the first thing that popped up and there's your answer. You have to seek light. You have to seek truth. And it's not going to come easy. Nothing that is valuable and is worth anything is free. We have to seek that. We have to dig deep. Everybody should be out with their shovel every day of the week. We have to dig deep. It's not easy. The answer is not just there. It's not just going to magically appear. Even if you're watching my shows, one of my two shows, I'm not going to have the answer for you. I'm going to give you my opinion, but I don't have the answer. Nobody has the answer. You have to look for it yourself. The answer is within you and what you feel to be right and what you feel to be wrong. But you have to know where to look to at least get accurate, up-to-date, real-time intelligent or information, real-time, up-to-date information. But for the insights that you hear here obviously make a difference. But you have to take what you heard today and you have to implement it tomorrow somehow. Now, I know myself and I know the good captain here will be reading something later on, but we'll probably be up late reading anyway on something because that's just the way we are, right? And I do. I'm with you. Our History Channel, I love all those. But it's about staying vigilant. We have to be vigilant. But there's a difference between vigilant and hypervigilant. Hypervigilant, you went too far. When you're hypervigilant, folks, you actually are probably less vigilant than you would be if you were not vigilant at all. Because when you're hypervigilant, your senses are going wild and every single thing is raising your spite, what they call the spidey sense, right? Your hairs are raising. You're not really getting anything. That's the whole kind of the PTSD issue. Like people like, you know, they're continuously in a heightened sense of something, you know? So you have to be vigilant, but you have to know what is too much. It's like anything. You have to take it in moderate. On this show, you know, if you watch me on the other show, we ask the tough questions and we have the tough conversation. We had a great conversation here. You folks out there, my humble listeners, viewers, you have to take what you got here. You got from the captain. You have to go and look for yourself, but it's up to you. You have to do it. Because you know what? Something is always lurking. You look at the ocean. It looks great, right? Even when the water's flat, there's submarines all along that ocean. You just don't see them. They're below the water. Danger is always beneath the surface. Always look. Always look for the next layer. So, folks, stay sharp, stay informed, and never, never stop seeking the truth. Our work doesn't stop here. This is just the beginning of a brand new conversation. Welcome to Eric A. Sinatti Unplugged. I thank you again for coming out for our pilot episode. I'm Eric A. Sinatti, your humble host of the Hostile Zone syndicated iHeart Radio. And now Eric A. Sinatti Unplugged. It was my esteemed pleasure to be with Captain today. You'll be back again many times.
Most definitely.
We thank you for your service. Oh, you do the proper. Hey, I got a quick question for you. I got into it with somebody and I can't say what country they're from because they would really annoy somebody. You know the reason why we salute, right?
Correct.
I'm going to tell you what I said to this person. You tell me if I'm correct. You tell me if I'm wrong. He was trying to tell me, this person, and it was from a foreign military. We were in a training in the Middle East. He said it was to show your hand open, not a weapon. And I'm like, no. In that era, people went and they tipped their hat. That was a sign of respect. Not showing my hand, because you could be a lefty. You could be palming something here. You could have something in your jacket. When you did the salute, it was the same as me seeing somebody who was an astute person. You tipped your hat, like I did to you. Hello, governor. I tipped my hat to you. That was a salute. Am I correct or not?
It depends on the country.
Maybe that's why he didn't like my answer.
It depends on the country for military courtesies, but it can work both ways.
But here in America, the English colonies, they tip their hat.
Correct.
That
yes.
was where I understood it to come from. But anyway, folks, we are going to be syndicated. We're on. You're going to hear Sinani 2 times a night. I don't know if you can handle it. And then after the show, we are indexed in every podcast platform. You just look for us. Just Google The Hostile Zone for my other show and just Google Eric A. Sinani Unplugged. Thank you so much for being out here. I want to thank the good captain again. I appreciate you. Give your full name again.
Captain James Van Tock.
And we're going to have you back on to talk about the suicide program. We're going to talk about that after.
Most definitely.
Carrie, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful work as executive producer. Her work has gotten twice as hard. She has to deal with me for 2 shows a day. Am I fun to hang out with, Carrie?
Why, sure.
I'm a blast, right? Folks, pay attention. We will have that DOD directive. We have a copy of it. I will have it highlighted. It's on your screen. It'll be available. Just rewind and look. Or if you want a copy, email the show, eric@ericandrewsinani.com or thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com. We'll get you your own copy. Redacted a little bit, but we'll get you your own copy. Thank you again, folks. I truly am humbled. The fact that I started in media a little over a year ago on 1 night a week, 1 hour. And then it went to every night with reruns on the weekends and now a second syndicated show. We're on more than 2,300 stations. And I thank you folks for that. I thank you. Don't go anywhere. Come back tomorrow because you know what? It's going to be a better show every day. Today was just a warm-up. Welcome to my world. Eric A. Sinani. Unplugged. I'm out.